This morning we are going to be in Acts chapter 5. I'm going to start in verse 26. This is a passage that I entitled Gamaliel's Advice. It's one of those things that we read it over and over sometimes in the Bible, and we think, okay, he's talking to others on this council and sharing with them. But man, what a message is hidden in there for us. And so let's start, if you'll read along with me in verse 26. It says, "Then the captain went with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should be stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, Did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood on us. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses to these things. So also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and plotted to kill them. Then one of the council stood up, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little while. And he said to them, Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. For some time ago, Theudas rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. After this, Judas of Galilee rose up in the days of the census and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. Now I say to you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this work is of men, it will come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. And they agreed with him, and when they had them called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in this name of Jesus and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy of suffering the shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we take this passage today and we open it and we read it. Lord, I pray you help us to see what there is in this passage for us as individuals. Lord, I pray for each person in this sanctuary, each person listening online. Lord, that we would hear from you. Lord, speak to me. Teach me. Mold me. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to where we would glorify and honor you, to where we would hear your word come alive and speak to us. Lord, this is nothing that I've done, nothing that I could ever do, but only through you can anything be done. And we pray for that this morning. Lord, may you receive glory and honor through everything that is said or even thought in this place. May you be glorified and honored in the name of Jesus. Amen. Like I said, this is a passage that we preached a sermon on not too long ago about the disciples or the apostles who had been imprisoned, and they were able to be freed, and they, instead of stopping, they went right back out and started teaching in the temples and in the streets of Jerusalem. And this takes place right after that. And as we read, there's several things that happen here because this council is so upset because they're saying, You're filling this town, Jerusalem, with your doctrine about this Jesus being the Christ. How How dare they do something like that? They had been told by the council not to teach the name of Jesus. And by doing that, you're telling people that we killed this man that you're saying is the Christ, you're putting his blood on us. And so the apostles, basically, they come back and say, well, you know, that's really how it happened. Said, we've got to obey God rather than man. And God's the one that raised this Jesus back to life. The one that you killed, the one that you crucified on a tree. So he puts it plain and simple. The same thing that he'd been preaching on the streets, that they'd been preaching on the streets, that they were being arrested for and being in prison for, now they're coming and they're telling the council, this is how it is. They didn't care. They were going to get the message of Christ out. Now, I want us to look at this one wise man. Now, we don't know how wise he was. We know by history he is considered a very wise man. But he gives them some advice. And this advice is what we're going to take today and break down. His advice is you better leave him alone. You better leave him alone because what they're doing, if it's not real, then it won't matter. He gives two examples of history in their past to where people had came and they had claimed to be somebody, and when they died, it wasn't of God, and so the people that followed them just quit. They walked away. They were dispersed. But he's smart enough to say, but if it is of God, you can't stop it. And if it is of God, you're going to see that you're not fighting against these apostles. You're fighting against God. They kicked the apostles out right before he said that. And I wonder if the apostles had been in that room when Gamaliel says, if it's of God, you can't stop it. And if it's of God, you're going to be fighting against God. If the apostles would have heard that, I think they believed it anyway. But if they had heard that, how much more power and encouragement would they have gotten from that to when they went back out into the streets the next day? Somebody says, man, what they're saying, it's probably empowered by God. What they're saying is backed up by God. That's what Gamaliel says. But I want us to look at some things as we look at the reason that he gave that advice. Because what they were saying had changed Jerusalem. Now, throughout today's message, I'm going to ask some questions. Some of them you're not going to like. I sure didn't like them this week when I had to answer them. But you're not going to like them. See, Stacy's getting up to leave already. I'm just kidding. But you're not going to like some of these questions. But you're going to like some of the encouragement that goes along with these questions. And my prayer is that we would use that to go. They filled the town. They filled the town with a message, calls it a doctrine, the message of Christ. If we took the word town out of there, and we're going to get to that later, but if we took the word town out and we just said home, they filled their home. I'm sure they did. I'm sure all of their family members knew exactly what they believed. I'm sure all of their family members knew what they believed in the Christ. And so I come to our first question. Would you be imprisoned for what you shared with your family? Most of us could say, yeah, we've been pretty strong in sharing our faith with our kids or with our relatives. And so, are we aware, do we think about the fact of what we share with our families? Have you even filled your home with the gospel of Jesus? Like I said, most of us can say, yeah, we've kind of done that. Okay, so let's widen that out. Let's take home out of there and let's put our workplace, our school, our team. Have you filled your team? Have you filled your workplace with the doctrine of Jesus? Well, that's a little bit different. You know, because I can't do that because I work at the school and I'm not allowed. And I understand that, and that's our rule. But if you're filled with Jesus, Jesus fills that place. I've seen it happen. But we have to be so filled with Jesus that there's nothing they can do. That's just who we are. So have you filled your workplace? And then this next one's the hardest one. Have you filled this town with Jesus? Because we can look at this town and we can see, well, we're a nice little Midwest town. But are we filled with Jesus? Oh, there's church on every street corner. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about are you personally, and I'm not saying the First Southern Baptist Church, because that doesn't matter. I'm not saying that any other name of any other church in town. I am not talking about a group of people. I'm talking about you individually. I'm talking about you as an individual. What have you done to fill this town with Jesus? Because I had to answer that question this week, and it wasn't a very good answer. Because there's a lot of times that I don't do a whole lot of filling. But that's our responsibility, is to fill this town to the point that it aggravates people that don't love Jesus. Well, we don't want to be offensive. You know, the cross of Jesus Christ is offensive to anybody that doesn't believe. Because it's telling them there is only one way to heaven, that's through faith in Jesus Christ. Any other belief out there is going to get offended. Anybody out there that thinks you can just be good and go to heaven is going to get offended when you tell them there is only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. The bottom line is, if I share the gospel, it's going to be offensive to the world. So what do? I just share the gospel with my Christian friends. Then nobody's offended. But then nobody's saved, because they were already saved in the first place. Are you going to do your part? Some of you are ready to leave already. But this is the deal that we need to understand. What they did, they filled that town, they filled Jerusalem with Jesus. Then what did they do? They were sent to prison. They got out of prison. They started preaching Jesus again. And they're brought in again. And they know it's probably going to turn out the same way. They're going to get beaten and they're going to get thrown back in prison again. That's probably what they're thinking. But you know what? They went back and did it anyway because it was worth it. It was worth getting beaten to share their faith. Sometimes it's not worth going to church to share our faith. Sometimes it's not worth somebody saying something bad about me. What is your faith worth? What is my faith worth in the world? Because that's the bottom line. Is your faith worth anything? Theirs was worth getting beaten, getting thrown in prison. They were not afraid because it was worth it. Is your faith worth it? If it's real, it will be worth it. Because then you will know what's behind it and what's ahead of you. But then something happens. After they're beaten again and they're thrown out, this is generally not where we're at. It says, they went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the shame for His name. When something goes wrong, their idea was, we're going to go in and we're going to tell people about Jesus. And we want this whole council to understand that it is about Jesus. We want everybody in Jerusalem to know that it's about Jesus. Who Jesus was, how much He loved them, and that He's coming back. That was their goal. You and I have a goal. We have a vision sometimes of what we think God is going to do in our lives, or in our church, in our town, in our country. What happens when it doesn't go our way? Well, we kind of step back and murmur, and we just kind of, you know, it didn't turn out the way they wanted. They were beaten again. And they went out rejoicing. Do we go out rejoicing when things don't go our way? When things don't go my way, man, sometimes there's a pity party coming. You've been there. You've done that. You know. Because, God, I'm trying to do everything for You. And at least that's what we tell ourselves. God, I just don't see why it didn't work out. Why did they arrest me? Why did they beat me? Why did they throw me in prison when I'm trying to do what You want? It doesn't have to go right for you to praise God. See, that's the key. When we have things go right, man, we can praise God. When we have, you know, this happened, this revival takes place, or this many people accept Christ, or whatever, when it seems like things are going right, the way we want, the way we think God wants them to go, man, we are praising Him. But when things don't go the way we think they should, we very seldom walk out rejoicing. So what are we focusing on? We're focusing on us and our situation instead of on our God. They were focusing on their God. They were focusing on the fact that, hey, I got to suffer because I'm connected to Him. And it goes on to say in verse 42, after being beaten daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. Well, first of all, we got to start doing that before we can ever cease. That's the unfortunate part. But they never stopped. It didn't turn out the way they wanted, and they did it anyway. And they didn't stop. And they went to every house and in the temple, and they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus. Oh, well, there you go. See, it just should be Sunday school teachers and preachers are the only ones it's talking about. No, it's not. It's talking about anybody that loves Jesus Christ. You are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone. That's what they were doing, and it changed their town. They were supposed to fill the town, and they were. They didn't need to be afraid because they knew it would be worth it. They rejoiced in the Lord even when things didn't go their way, and they did not stop even after being beaten. Go back to that question. What are you doing to fill your town with Jesus? Because that's where we're at. Well, we're safe. We've got a faith. We're here. Pastor's just bashing on us this Sunday. No, I'm not. I want us to understand what God expects of us. We miss the blessings of God when we miss out on what He calls us to do. Well, we go out and we do those things. We talk to people, and it just doesn't seem like things are working out. We have all these plans, all these organizations that just seems like it should work. Let's go back to Gamaliel. Says, if the plan or the work is of men, it will come to nothing. See, that's my problem a lot of times. The plan that I have, what I'm doing, is maybe not of God. That's a big lump to swallow. But the bottom line is, it's got to be not only about God, but it's got to be empowered by God. We have to make sure that what we're doing is all about Him. They didn't go to Jerusalem and say, hey, We're the apostles. We came here to tell you about Jesus because we are such a good group and we want to do this and we want to do that. No, they came because it was all about Jesus. It's got to be about Him. And like I said, when it is, it's going to be offensive. They're not going to like it. But what we have to understand is that when it is about Him and it is empowered by Him, then they can't stop it. They can't stop it if it's about Jesus. If it's to bring Jesus glory and honor. If it's about the gospel of Jesus Christ being taken to a world of lost sinners that need to come to salvation, then it's not empowered by me. It's empowered by God. It's empowered by His Word. They can't stop it. But the thing that hinders us, I believe, or hinders me, I'm not going to put it on you, hinders me, is I feel like I'm losing. You know what I mean? You talk to people and it just seems like they don't want to hear it. And you get up the courage and the nerve to go talk to someone else and they just, yeah, whatever, and let it go. And it just feels like everything that I'm doing, I know, you know, God has called us to do this, but it just seems like I'm losing. They're not fighting against me. They're fighting against God. And I don't have to win for God to win. You know, so many times I come in here and I will pray over a sermon and I will feel like it is exactly what God has me to say. And it will just be like it just was here and it was over and it went so fast. And I hear people say, oh, that was such a good message. And I see no change. The altars still have dust on them. The steps are still clean. And you know, for a little bit I get frustrated. I'm being honest with you today. But you know, I have to stop and think. That's not my job to get you to the altar. My job is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. To how He is supposed to change our world. Our home, our job place, our team, our town. And I'm not trying to throw anything heavy on you. I'm just saying that that's the way sometimes I feel. I feel like I'm failing because the altars are empty. That doesn't mean I'm failing. If I'm preaching what Jesus is telling me to preach, then I'm doing okay. He's not going to fail when the gospel is preached. I'm going to fail when I don't do what the gospel tells me to do. That's where we're at. So as we listen to Gamaliel, another question. What you and I are doing, is it of us or is it of God? There's one way to find out. Man, I was just so into this. I was ready to do this. We had it all planned, and then all of a sudden it just died out. If it dies out, it's of me. Man, we started this, and God has kept it rolling, and God is doing it. And as long as God, we put God in the center of it, and we follow Him, we get a grip on Him and hang on, He is going to take it where He wants to take it, and it's not going to die out. As long as He is the power of it. As long as He is the center of it. We have to do that. That's what He's called us to do. But you know, there are probably some people in this room that think that's not your gift. Maybe there's some people in this room that have never understood that's what they're supposed to do. Let's go to verse 30 and 31. Let's back up to part of 29. We ought to obey God rather than men. In order for me to obey God, I've got to know what He's saying. I could not get onto my kids when they were little for not doing something that I didn't tell them to do. If they were in their bedroom and I am in the kitchen and I tell them to do something, I can't get on to them because they weren't in there listening to me when I told them. But if they're standing there listening to me and I say, do this, and they don't do it, then they've disobeyed me. God has told us what to do, but too many times I'm not near enough to Him to listen. He's called me to do His will, and I am not close enough to do it. But we have to obey God rather than man. And this is the reason, because the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you murdered and hung on a tree. Jesus was murdered and hung on a tree for us, for you. It was Him that God exalted to the right hand to be the Prince and Savior. The whole purpose was that He would be your Savior. He'd be my Savior. To give repentance, forgiveness of sins. That's what it was all about. That was the message that they were sharing. That's the message I want you to understand. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, repentance is when you turn away from yourself and your selfish desires and your sins to God and ask Him for forgiveness. That's what it was all about. That's what changed the town. That's what got people upset. But that's what they were called to do. And as Christians, we are called to do. To share God's repentance, to share God's forgiveness with people that don't know that. With people that don't want that. Well, that's a different story. To try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with somebody that doesn't want it. That's our responsibility. That's the only way we're going to change our home, our job, and our town, is to have that message empowered by Him. Trust me, it'll be worth it. Rejoice your way through it and don't ever stop. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You. And Lord, I pray that they would never feel like I'm bashing them. They would never feel like I'm calling on them because they're not being what they're supposed to. Lord, help me to do what You've called me to do, just to preach Your word. Lord, I just lift up this time that we would just open up to You. Lord, help us to see the gospel we're supposed to share, that it's real, that it's worth it. God, move in us. We pray, Holy Spirit, You would take over and do the things that You've desired to do for so long that we have hindered You. Move in a mighty way. Draw the lost to You. Draw the saved to You. Help us to be not only moving forward, but to move out to reach this world for You. In Your name we pray. Amen.